Let us prepare our hearts for this day's worship. Let us stand for our call to worship that you will find on the screen or on page 63. pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for allowing us to be back into this place to worship you. Although we should have worshiped you all week, we should have been involved in worshiping you with each breath that we take, with each act that we have taken upon ourselves. We should be worshiping you. But we come to this very specific place to worship you as family of God. So in our worshiping, let us expect the miracle, look forward to it, and be part of it. And in the midst of that, let us find your spirit more than ever before. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. If you will remain standing, turn to page 128. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Take your hymn books and turn to page 889 or on the screen, the affirmation from 1 Timothy. Let us join together. There is one God and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is true and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, was manifest in the flesh, vindicated in the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen. Join me in a time of silent prayer, and after that I will lead us in our pastoral prayer and then the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray together. Thank you and we praise you, O God, for this wonderful day. We know as we come into this day that it has already been filled with prayers, with doubts. It has already been filled with wars and rumors of wars. It has already been filled with the struggles of life. We know that you walk with grandchildren and you bless them even as they go in and out of hospitals. You're there with them and their families, and we ask you to bless and give strength to each person that is involved in that healing. That you're with ones who will have radiation this week, and that you will bless them and you will care for them as they go through their time that will cause healing and will cause strength. We know that you walk with those who struggle with life itself. We know that you're with those in our family that have lost, our church family, that have lost loved ones and have struggled with life as they went through this week. And we know that you have given safe journey to the ones who have come back to be with us. We are so amazed at the work you do, at the healing you do, and at the power you give. So we ask the Lord that you allow us to take a moment of silence, and that let us lift up to you, both verbally or silently, our request of this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear all of our prayers. We especially pray this day for the places where war has been going on for so long, in Ukraine and in other parts of our world, and where war has just been declared. We ask that you would be with the nation of Israel and all that surrounding region, that peace in all these places would happen. And that we would not allow or not have the wars that have started or have been going to spread throughout the rest of our world. That we would be safe and that we would cling to that promise of Christmas when the angels came to the shepherds and said peace on earth because Jesus has come. Well, Jesus has still come, and we still pray for that peace. So we ask now, Lord, that you would grant in all places healing and in strength and a joy that only comes from you. Now open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. And in doing that, let us pray the prayer you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you are able to, we'd like you to stand and sing with us page 365, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Of course, you will find it on the screen also. So sing as God leads you, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Thank you. ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. Let us pray. May we give as if we truly believe that grace is greater than our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Takes for them to let me sing in the choir. But it is a beautiful thing that they do that, so I appreciate them letting me be with them. If you have Bibles, if you would turn with me to the Gospel, the Scripture of Hebrews, chapter 11, it's verse 29. I would say to you that if you want to read the entire story of today, if you would go to Exodus 14, hopefully other than when I'm preaching, but you can go to Exodus 14 and you would see the entire reading for this scripture. It's the whole chapter. So spend some time there. You will find places in here that I will not be able to cover in just a 15 or 18 minute sermon that you would want to read. So be aware of that. But it is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Holy Scripture. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. May the grace of the one that gives us dry land and sometimes makes us wait on it bless us this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want to give you the, for lack of a better way to say this, the actors of the moment. We have Moses. We have the Red Sea, and we have the Egyptians. And some would say, well, how's the Red Sea the actor? Well, it's as much a part of this story as anything else we have. So without the Red Sea being part of the action, we miss this story. What I want you to do this morning, though, is work with me, and I want you to let your minds maybe release from the moments that you're living, whether it be work, whether it be home, whether it be church, whether it be whatever's on your mind other than what, of course, should be, which is Christ. But I would like for you to try to release them, but then I'm going to draw you back to a certain part of them. In this drama that's unfolding, Moses, as we talked about last week, has went through the 10 plagues. We then got to the last one and got to the Passover with the blood on the doorpost. And finally, after all that happens and the firstborn have died, Moses goes back to the Pharaoh and says, y'all ought to have these words down if you've read any of this story before. Let my people go. Thank you. And so let my people go. And so we've done that. And finally, Pharaoh, for a moment, lets the people go, and that's why he had them dressed, ready to go during the Passover, had the sandals on, had the traveling clothes on, had everything prepared to leave. So So when it's time to let the people go and they say yes, the entire nation of Israel, according to scriptures, leave. We're not talking about 35 people and a goat here. We're talking about thousands of people upon thousands of people, all their animals, everything that they have, they take the possessions and they leave quickly as they can. And so they come out of the area that they've been in, Goshen, and that area there, and they head towards what is to be the Red Sea. And they move that direction towards the Red Sea, and they're out into that desert area, and they're moving towards it. Pharaoh decides to change his mind, and then calls his army together, and they begin to pursue. God puts up a pillar of fire between them, separates them so they have some area of safety. And we have Moses, we have the Red Sea, and we have the people, and we have the Egyptians. Now here's why I want you to work with me before we go through the story. Every one of you, every one of us, have had our Red Sea moment. We've had those moments when there's an obstacle in front of us that is either keeping us from doing what we need to do, or it is holding us from being who we should become, and it needs to be parted. It needs to be changed. It needs to be out of the way. It needs to be where we can go through it on dry land. And we also involved in this because we never do anything in a vacuum. You may have family. You may have friends. You may have what Moses had, the entire nation who looks at him and says, and this is not the only time they'll say this, by the way, but he looks at them and says, all you've done is brought us out of a place where we knew what we had, and you brought us out here to die. That's why you brought us out here. And I just, this once I wanted Moses to say, yeah, that was my plan. My plan was because I didn't want y'all to be slaves anymore. I wanted you to come out, and I just wanted y'all to get cremated and died so that I wouldn't have to worry about y'all being slaves anymore. This once I wanted him to say it. Haven't you wanted to say that to somebody before? Haven't you wanted to look at him and say, yep, that's what I plan to do. It was my goal to make you as miserable as I possibly could and let you die. This once in a while I've wanted to say that. But, and I hate to say it to you, friends, and not here yet. Not here yet, Richard. Not here yet, but in some church councils, I've wanted to say, yeah, the bishop appointed me here to just make you so miserable you couldn't stand yourself, and I'm accomplished that, and I'm happy. This once I've wanted to say it, because, you know, that way, because that's what they were thinking. Why are you doing this to us? I'm like the preacher, have been like the preacher, not yet here, but I've been like the preacher that preached the same sermon, and preached the same sermon, and preached the same sermon for the first 14 weeks he was a pastor. And finally, the staff parish calls him in and says, we need to talk to you about your sermons. When are you going to preach another sermon? And the preacher looks at him and says, I'm going to keep preaching this one until you get it right. You know, and so until as long as you keep doing what you're doing, you're getting the same sermon. You know, we all that. And I think Moses wanted to say to them, and that's want him to. Never says in the Bible. I wished it would. Never says in the Bible, but I wish Moses could just turn around and look at him and say, yeah, it was my goal all along, get y'all all killed so I can die with y'all. Didn't this look like fun? And that's your scene. You got a Pharaoh who decides he's mad because everybody died, and the other people go, so all of his labor force has now been walked away from him, and he has to do his work himself. Could apply this to many places. And haven't y'all, maybe you are, experiencing these moments right now. Can't make a decision. People are telling you what y'all do, even though you don't like what they're saying, and there's somebody after you to do something. Kind of feels like life, doesn't it? Kind of feels like what we go through all the time. Well, and then you have Moses. Aaron's not helping. You know, Aaron was brought along so he could be the voice. And I don't hear Aaron say one word. Go back and read chapter 14. And that's just Aaron's over there quiet. So here's Moses. What's the plan, Moses? Well, you know, they're chasing us. Well, what's the plan? Well, here's what I'm going to do. Get it all worked out. God and I got this figured out. I'm going to go out and stand by the water. And I'm going to take my staff and I'm going to raise it over the water. And I'm going to stand there and wait on God. That's the plan. Well, I might touch the water with it. See if it makes a difference. You mean you don't have another route? No. You mean you don't have another way around the sea? No. In seminary, we had professors that used to tell us that it actually wasn't the Red Sea where they went. They went out by the Reed Sea. And the Reed Sea was only ankle high, so they could have walked through. It was kind of like swampish land. You know, and so they could just walk through, and one of the people in the back said, well, that's a praise God moment for me. What do you mean it's a praise God moment? That debunks the story. It said, God drowned all those soldiers in water that was only ankle high. What an amazing day that was, huh? You can explain these things wherever you want to, but they just don't go away. Well, we've got the Red Sea, and I'm gonna hold my staff out. The fact that staff's turned to a snake twice has nothing to do with anything. It's just, you know, it's I'm just gonna hold it out. Now, here's what I've always wanted to happen. This is not in the Bible, by the way. It's just me. Anytime I get a bunch of folks who think I don't know what I'm doing, and by the way, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm just trying to follow God. And Moses had no clue what he was doing either. He was just trying to follow what God told him to do. But every time I wanted that, I've always wanted Moses to hold the staff out and nothing happened for a minute. This is not a Charleston Heston moment. I'm sorry. He didn't put it out in the water and go, and then it'll immediately be dried. It's not how it worked. Go read 14 again, it'll tell you. He puts it out. I've always wanted to look there, and I've always wanted Moses to look back at him and go, it's coming. Just wait. Now, we want the dramatic, don't we? I've always wanted to say, it's coming. And then have the wind begin to blow like at 2 miles an hour. Then at 5. Then all of a sudden it blows so hard that it parts the water. And I've always wanted that the ground would take about an hour to dry up. So everybody behind him would have more reason to whine. Puts it out. The sea parts. This is why I would not make a good prophet, by the way. And I would not make a good Moses. Because then I would want to look around at him and say, what do you think about my plan now, huh? Think about it. You know, the humanity of me takes over. We know Moses never did anything like that, right? It parts, and the people begin to go through on dry land. The Egyptian army, by the way, didn't go to the house because the water parted. They begin to go through. And as you read the story, you kind of figure out that the last Israelite exited the dry land when the first Egyptian soldier entered the dry land. Because remember, we all think that the water comes back on top of them quickly. Well, you don't really think that they entered into the Red Sea on wet land, do you? They go in on dry land like the nation of Israel did, and so they're exiting, they're entering. They could still catch them if it stays dry. You've always wanted to listen to them. Well, Moses, okay, it parted and we went across, but what's it going to do with them? Because the nation of Israel, along with Christianity, never doubts God, do we? We never wonder if God's actually going to do something, do we? I mean, we just kind of think God's just hanging out. You know, he created us and went, yeah, good luck. I'll come back in 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 years, 6,000, whatever. I'll come back. Y'all hang out. And whatever you do, I'm just up here watching. And so that's kind of how some of us think. You know, so nobody's ever doubted that God's going to fix it. Well, remember now, with every story that's a victory for somebody, is almost always a defeat for somebody else. And so the soldiers, who by the way are just doing what the Pharaoh told them to do, enter the Red Sea on dry land. And then what happens? Thousands upon thousands of Egyptian soldiers die because they've been ordered to enter to kill the nation of Israel. And they look back, the nation of Israel looks back, and Moses looks back and sees them, and all of a sudden, all that pursued them have died. I don't know, but I think we, the church, we claim doom more than about anybody you've ever seen, and all we do is serve a risen Savior. That makes sense to anybody, do y'all? That makes sense to y'all? They go through on dry land, the army's drowned. How many times does the nation of Israel think they're going to get wiped out before they get drowned in the water? I've never understood why church is not a place that people think of the possibilities of good instead of the possibilities of doubt. Something bad happens, and bad stuff happens in church. Bad things happen to churches. Bad things happen to denominations. Bad things happen. I mean, they just happen. We're human. Things happen. You have to understand, we are a people that believe in armies getting drowned in Red Seas. We are a people that believe that they walk across on dry land. We're a people that believe when they enter the promised land, they can go in and defeat people that are undefeatable if you look at numbers and the way people are playing. We are people who actually believe, y'all prepare for this now, we're actually people who believe Jesus is born of a virgin and comes the way nobody expected him to come. And we are a people who actually believe that he's crucified and this dead guy rises from the grave and is the Lord and Savior of the world, and his name is Jesus Christ. We only believe in miracles. We are a miracle-believing, water-walking, praising God people. That's us. That's who we are. And how in the world do we think God doesn't care? I would say to you, God cares about each one of us more than we ever can imagine. That you're actually loved by the Creator of all things. God actually loves you. Now, if God loves me, as Scripture say, if God's for me, who can be against me? But I want to word it slightly different. If God loves me, how in the world do we worry about other people who don't? I don't know if you know this or not, but pastors by our nature, most of us, there's a few different, most of us actually want people to like us. And yet we know that if we do our job, that there'll be some people who don't. The very nature of leading or attempting to lead causes other people not to like you. Just ask Moses. Why? Any of y'all who have ever been in leadership positions, if everybody on your staff or everybody in your group that you've tried to lead all loved you, please let me know how that turned out for you. Because I promise you, there's some of them that do something you won't believe They actually go to somebody in private and say, do you believe how that person, whoever he or she is acting, we need to replace them. You believe somebody would do that to you? Just think how many of them did to Moses. They all think he's talking about their die. None of us, our entire life, are actually always certain God is caring for us. It's called doubt. I just wonder what would have happened if Moses had put the staff out and said, I really hope you're going to do this. I'm not sure. But it's out there, Lord. But, you know, if you can. What I really think it is, stick it out there and went, I can't wait to watch this happen. I got no clue how it's going to do it. Didn't tell me, didn't share. But there it is, Lord, you told me to put it out there, and so it's out there. Let's go. Can't wait. The difference between water parting and water walking is believing it'll happen. Just ask Peter. He got out of the boat. And he's walking towards God, and when he took his eyes off the prize, off Jesus, and looked down, what did he start to do? He started sinking. Maybe, just maybe, the issue's not God. The issue's we've taken our eyes off the one with the power. His name's Jesus Christ. Just maybe. I will give Peter credit, though. He got out of the boat. I wonder how many of the others got out of the boat. Let's see. None. Think about it. With whatever you're going through in your life, whatever sees in front of you, whatever people are amongst you that are telling you you don't have a clue what you're doing, and whatever army's chasing you, whether it be an army of doubt, an army of sinfulness, an army of questioning God, whatever army's after you, will you put your staff out and say, I can't wait to see what God does today? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Friends, if you're in a place of doubt, you can have a beautiful walk on dry land. You just have to love Jesus. It's page 170, Oh How I Love Jesus. Stand and sing. The altar is open if you need to come and pray. Page 170. Let's sing together. Thank you. go today, I want to ask you to pray for Pleasant Hill. We have charge conference this afternoon at 4:30, and so we will meet together back at the conference office for charge conference for them today. And then I get to turn around and start working with Wanda, who's already done some wonderful thing for charge conference here, and do our charge conference for next month. So we go for that today. So I ask you to pray for us as we go through that time, because Mary Lynn and I will just go eat and go to the conference office, and so and be there for that. So be in our journey. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for enjoying the coolness in the sanctuary. Remember when you didn't like the heat? Now you got the cool. It'll all change when we turn the heat back on. Then it'll heat up to 95 degrees outside, and we will roast. That's the way it always works. And so, but I won't thank you for the cool water. The water was great this morning. I've been in here this week for the coolness, so it was great. So thank you for being here. I ask you to go in peace. May God's blessings be with you. May the power of the Holy Spirit walk with each of us this week. And when the sea is in the way, let it part because of God's staff. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we go forth. Amen.